So, Sophia, I wanted to start out by just pointing out to our audience that many of these issues and proposals you looked at over the past week are not new. They're just getting new attention in light of the killing of George Floyd and the protests that sparked it, correct?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, there are groups and individuals who have been speaking out against police brutality, especially toward Black and brown people, and the policies and practices that they say allow it to continue happening for years and years, and, you know, including in Delaware specifically. And we also have seen already... And we've also seen already, you know, efforts by lawmakers, whether that's on the local level or the state level, and the attorney general to try to reform some of this stuff. But right now, I think it's fair to say that anyone who's ever pushed for some kind of policing reform is ramping up their calls again because, you know, the elected officials and lawmakers say that they're listening. There is just this kind of feeling of intense urgency right now. And I think everyone recognizes that the people who are taking to the streets have really reached a boiling point on these issues.
So let's go through some of these things that you covered one by one. And let's start with the one that you covered actually on last week's edition of The Green, and that was use of force policies. Just remind us again, where does Delaware stand on this issue compared to other states?
So use of force statutes are basically justifications under state code that allow you to defend yourself if you're sued for using force. So these protect you from criminal liability. And Delaware has several. One's available to civilians as well, and that's use of force in self-protection. Another one specific to law enforcement, which says an officer is justified in using force under a number of situations, including if it's necessary to make an arrest. And then there's a higher bar for deadly force. So what I heard from a professor at Widener University, Delaware Law School, Judith Ritter, she said Delaware statute is actually very similar to those of a lot of other states. That's because ours is basically the same as the model penal code. But where it differs from some other states is in what happens to the officer's defense if a jury finds that his or her belief that they had to use force was not reasonable. So in some other states, that completely invalidates the whole defense. And in Delaware, you know, it's a little bit more lenient toward the defendant, which in this case would be like a police officer. And it means that they might get something like negligent homicide instead of murder if it's a case where the use of force resulted in death.
Is there any consensus on what can be a path forward to change in this area? Is this where ideas like, you know, banning chokeholds would come into the conversation as well in terms of what constitutes, you know, a proper or improper use of force?
Right now, I think you could say there's a pretty wide agreement among groups like NAACP, ACLU, other advocates, and even lawmakers and elected officials that, like, these laws are an issue to police accountability. Leaders in the NAACP, and, you know, some of these are like folks who have fought in the civil rights arena for so many years. They pointed me to the case of Jeremy McDowell, who was, this is a pretty, you know, famous case in Delaware, a wheelchair user. He was shot and killed by four Wilmington police officers in 2015. And, you know, it was caught on camera. It's a really disturbing video. And there was a ton of outrage among citizens. There still is. And the Attorney General's office investigated, as they do, the use of deadly force in this case, and found a bunch of issues from like training, Wilmington Police Department policy, and the conduct of especially one officer in particular, and the way he approached the scene. But DOJ could not charge any of these officers because their actions were justified under state code. And since then, DOJ has investigated, you know, a number of other cases of deadly force use, and found them all to be justified under state code. So advocates say, you know, that's just ridiculous. And the NAACP is actually calling for a complete repeal of these statutes. Now, the state attorney general released a set of reform proposals Wednesday, and she wants to make it so that when, you know, an officer is using this statute to defend themselves for using force, that the belief that force was necessary has to be objectively reasonable. And she says that the current statute is subjective and it doesn't require a police officer to establish that the use of force was actually necessary. And yes, both the Legislative Black Caucus and the AG also do want to see, as you mentioned, you know, bans on knee and chokeholds. But I'm not sure necessarily if that would have to happen within these statutes.
Another area you looked at that's considered by many an impediment to dealing with police conduct, especially in the use of force, is the Law Enforcement Officer's Bill of Rights. Can you give us kind of a quick sketch of what that is and Delaware's version of it and how it kind of fits into this whole process?
It's kind of interesting. It's another section of state code. This one governs how police can be investigated internally for misconduct, so within the department. Delaware is one of 14 states, about 14 states that have these, according to one expert I talked to, and ours dates back to 1985. And it lays out ground rules for how the interrogations of cops can happen. So it requires that, like, questioning of police officers be done at a reasonable hour for a reasonable amount of time, preferably during their scheduled shift, stuff like that. And the big thing that people also point to is it also keeps all the records of these investigations and, you know, citizen complaints against cops hidden from the public. So according to Camille Boynton, who's a professor at DSU I talked to, Delaware's Bill of Rights here has one of the strongest provisions for the privacy of the records out of the other states that use these as well.
But you did also report that at least one expert did call this well-intentioned due process. Can you explain, you know, why, even though it seems that particularly the transparency part, you know, runs counter to what you would want to see, that there is some rationale for that, that is what is kind of the basis of the defense of it?
Yeah, so this was also Camille Boynton, who I talked to. So I guess this statute is at heart a public employee labor protection law. You can see it that way. I guess Dr. Boynton gave the example, like, as an employee, do you want your employee file available to all of the public, especially in such a public facing job? So that's one way to see it. But then it's obviously a little more complicated since the employee files of police are basically matters of public safety.
And so what are calls for change on this look like? What are some of the people you talk to advocating to kind of make this work better and be, I think, the bigger issue, more transparent?
Yeah, so to start, I talked with the NAACP of Delaware, and again, they, you know, are basically opposed to this entire statute. They argue that it conflicts, like the parts about privacy of the records, that it conflicts with the state's Freedom of Information Act and that it should be repealed. The Legislative Black Caucus, who unveiled an agenda Wednesday, they are looking to amend the statute to allow criminal defendants' legal counsel to access these internal investigation records. And then the state attorney general, Kathy Jennings, has also proposed a change to this. She wants to focus on the transparency aspect that we mentioned, as she puts it, ensuring investigations are unimpeded, and also requiring that drug and alcohol testing happens following a use of force incident.
Another fairly common area for calls for reform at this juncture is creation of civilian review boards to look into police misconduct. Tell us a little bit about, from your reporting, what that would look like and what that would do to kind of address some of these other issues.
These civilian review boards, community review boards, sometimes called different things, these are in place in cities across the country, and there's sort of different models that they can follow. I spoke with Mike Brickner, who's the new director of the ACLU of Delaware, and he said to me that the devil's really in the details in these kind of bodies, because it really depends, like, how much power does this body actually have to dictate what kind of discipline happens in the case of police misconduct. Do they, you know, what kind of records or data do they have access to? How are the members appointed is a big thing. So one group in Delaware called Delaware for Police Oversight has been advocating for a civilian statewide community review board for at least a year. They've re-upped their calls, you know, in light of the protests. And they want to see, like I mentioned, statewide review board. One important thing to them is that the members of this review board are primarily private citizens, are primarily from the communities that often see over policing and that are the most impacted by police violence. And they also want to make sure that the members are paid a stipend for participating in this. Again, they say that the people who are most often impacted by police violence are low-income individuals. So that would help, you know, make sure that we really do get the right kind of representation on this board that they're looking for. And they also want that board to have access to you know, data, access to basically the things that we mentioned in the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights, the record of, you know, investigations into misconduct. There would also be a body that looks at policy and can make recommendations in that regard. And then there's one last part that Depot, as they call themselves, are looking for this board to do, which would be look into alternatives to police presence in communities. And the Attorney General, Wednesday, she put out this list of different reforms that she's looking for. That includes establishment of a statewide civilian review board to provide independent review of police misconduct cases. And kind of separately, but on a similar topic, she wants to expand the Division of Civil Rights and Public Trust, which is in Department of Justice, their authority to review the use of force incidents beyond fatal police shootings. The Legislative Black Caucus wants to form kind of a different body that's a law enforcement accountability task force, which would include police as well as citizens. And that would more so be the side looking into, you know, more policy and reform issues.
What are some of the other things we're hearing about? I mean, I know one of them is body cams, especially in Wilmington. Where does that stand in terms of moving forward?
So, you know, again, body cameras, just like these other things, it's not really like a new and radical solution. This is something that's in place in a lot of places. In Delaware, a couple police forces still don't have these. And this is, you know, Wilmington doesn't. Delaware State Police does not. Newcastle County has had them deployed since 2016. And a few other agencies have them as well. In the case of Wilmington, so Wilmington piloted body cameras in 2016. And since then, leadership, you know, they say that they want them, but there just continues to sort of be hurdles to rolling them out. A big one has been funding. And so last year, the city said that they wanted to try to fund this in part through federal grants. The police department applied for one. They did not receive it. And so that kind of slowed things down. City council, some members said, let's just fund the whole thing through the budget. That did not really make progress. And the budget for next fiscal year actually passed a couple weeks ago, did not include any funding for body cameras, which some citizens and council members were upset about. But it ultimately didn't hold up the budget passing. And again, the police department have applied for this federal grant that would fund part of the program. The latest development is that Mayor Mike Przycki and City Council President Hanifa Shabazz last Friday, just, you know, a half hour before the big protest in Wilmington was planned to start, they put out a statement committing to, you know, ensuring that these body cams get out to officers, you know, as soon as possible. The mayor said that he was committing to finding $800,000 match to this federal grant if the police get it, and then, you know, committing to finding additional funding if the police department does not receive this grant. And I reached out asking, you know, where in the budget this money would come from, because you know, just like all municipal budgets right now, getting hit really hard by the pandemic and the recession, they had to kind of go back to the drawing board and cut a bunch of things from the budget to balance it without a tax increase. And so I know, you know, there's not a ton of extra money floating around here. I did not get an answer as to where that money's going to come from. So I guess, you know, remains to be seen what happens there. But there has been, it's been a constant conversation in Wilmington. When are we going to get these body cameras?
And I do think it's important for us to point out, you mentioned the funding hurdle, particularly when it comes in terms of body cams. But for a lot of these other things that we're talking about, another hurdle is police contracts. I mean, that there are union contracts. And to make any of these changes, there's likely going to have to be some kind of work with local unions, correct?
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, across the country, I mean, the police unions are kind of notorious as the place where a lot of this reform can get held up. And actually, we saw in the issue with funding the body cameras, one of the delays that happened during the past year in Wilmington was the fact that the Wilmington Police Union wanted to negotiate the disciplinary aspect of how these body cams would be used in their contract. I tried to speak with more local level police unions this week doing this reporting. you know, I was directed to the state level. So I spoke with Fred Calhoun, who is the president of the statewide FOP, about some of these reforms that are being proposed. And he, you know, opposes the civilian review board idea. Basically, he argues like these, you know, civilians are not law enforcement experts. How would, you know, any of us feel having non-experts in our field sort of making decisions about the way that we should operate? The second thing is I spoke with him about the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights, and he, you know, defended these protections, again, saying that public opinion right now is, you know, there's a lot of feelings ranging from skepticism to, you know, complete distrust and dislike of, you know, police in general right now in the public opinion. And he says that if, you know, there was more transparency about complaints made against us, even if we're found innocent of those complaints, you know, cleared of them, they can still be held against us by the public. So that's why we need this, you know, privacy.
One other thing I did want to touch on here briefly is something that's been getting attention elsewhere and nationally, and that's this push to defund the police. It doesn't seem like it's being brought up much here, but first let's just kind of frame for people what it is. It's a little bit more nuanced than the phrase itself might suggest.
Yeah, so most advocates for defunding the police, it's not that they necessarily want the police to have no funding whatsoever, but it's this idea that, you know, right now the police serve kind of a broad role. They deal with all kinds of issues, and advocates would say that some of those things, like maybe dealing with people who are going through a mental health crisis, whether it's, you know, a homelessness issue or even domestic violence, that sometimes those issues would actually be better dealt with by, you know, a mental health expert, someone who works on rehousing people who are homeless, and that maybe kind of the role of police can be shrunk and some of that money can be actually diverted elsewhere, whether that's to education, some of these, you know, kind of strengthening communities, even just boosting, you know, the economic stability of an area can, you know, advocates would argue that would actually reduce crime. So kind of re-envisioning public safety, I guess.
It would be better spent money to direct it to other areas where disparities in communities of color exist, rather than kind of trying to address those disparities with police, essentially.
Right. And a lot of advocates will also point to the fact that, you know, police are, some will call it, you know, the police have been militarized in terms of the equipment that they have, that some of those situations just don't really require that level of, you know, I guess just weapons being kind of in the picture there, and that hopefully reducing those interactions would actually reduce police violence.
Have we heard from any advocates locally that are kind of trying to get this into the conversation?
It's not something that we're hearing a ton locally. I saw like one or two signs, you know, at the protest in Wilmington Friday that pointed to this desire to defund police. I did speak briefly today with Medina Wilson Anton, who's a candidate for state rep right now, and she is has been one of the organizers of the big protest in Wilmington last Friday. She says that she is for, in her words, demilitarization of the police, defunding and investing in alternatives. So it's something that, you know, people are considering. People are kind of thinking about. We're not just hearing the phrase defund the police like thrown around too much here yet.
Sophia Schmidt, as always, we appreciate your time and your reporting. If people want to check out the reporting you've done over this past week on all these issues, they can go to DelawarePublic.org and find it right there. Thank you again, Sophia.
Mm-hmm. No problem. Thank you.